I'm reminded again of the difference between a small course with the opportunity for coaching and mentorship relationships as opposed to a huge presentation. I'm not denouncing the value of a huge presentation, like for a Robbins course where you've got 1,000 or 5,000 people in the room. There's really nothing like having that many people all cheering and dancing next to you. It raises the energy level through the roof. The one downside with learning in that environment is the people that are doing your feedback, the people that are coaching you alongside, aren't necessarily any further along in the journey than you are. Also, the music and the hype that is experienced there is not part of one's everyday experience. So it's hard to recreate that external environment for ongoing practice. And with the absence of that, a lot of people find that the motivation isn't there to maintain a practice of the disciplines, of the practices and the techniques that they learned in such a course. It's a little bit easier in a small course because you're paying a little bit more attention to how things are being done, and it makes it easier to, let's say, to recreate those kinds of experiments in everyday life. So I think it just makes it a little bit easier to establish some accountability for practice and a commitment to ongoing growth.
Well, there's a few things. If you remember, for example, in the practitioner program, what we did is we had, you know, water cooler time. Go out and practice this outside. Work with somebody else. Go out in the, you know, in the everyday. Do it at lunch. Do it during breaks. Do it after dinner. Do it before you come to class. In other words, what you hope that the training environment does is you come into the training room, you learn some things, and then you take it out into your everyday experience. And you apply it at lunch and at dinner and at breakfast and with the salesperson at the store, at the counter, or whatever. You know, you're walking through the skills, but you're doing it in your everyday setting, which what I want to do is I want the training environment, while the room may be different, I want it to as much parallel an everyday experience as possible, because that's where you use your skills, is in your everyday life. You don't retreat to a think tank, you know, to live your life. You come out and go about your daily life, going to the different stores and the different coffee shops and different workplaces and the different people. And so that's crucial, that you practice your skill set. You learn to take your skills and the exercises that we do back into the world, and we give you time to do that in the program. There's another side to this too, and that is that you don't want people pumped up. Again, you don't want the adrenaline flowing, because adrenaline means I need to fight or flee. You know, it's fight or flight. So you either get all jazzed up, all pumped up on adrenaline. When adrenaline is pumping, you're not in the most optimal state for learning. You're high, you know, or you're ready to get the heck out of there, but you're not in the crucial place for getting the information to come in and assimilate the information in your experience. So the other thing about pump-up stuff is that it's just like if you're highly, highly, highly motivated, ultimately you can't carry that motivation on your own. If it's all about music and all about people cheering you and all about, you know, a big hype thing for 3 days or 10 days or something like that, because that's not what your experience is. You don't walk into the office and people go, yeah, and they cheer you every morning. Now, you can learn to do that internally for yourself. That's one of the things that we like to do, is teach people how to do that and activate their own attitude and get them really able. And then it's choosing the places that you do that, because you're not always pumped up. You want to have the right skill set, the right mindset, the right behaviors for each and every point in your life.
Yep, it's not maintainable all the time. And I think that's well said. I'll tell you, if I had a nickel for every one of those times that like Tony Robbins' attendee has told me, I got all psyched up, and then 6 to 8 weeks later, they didn't know what to do with themselves.
Well, it's a common... Yeah. It is, because it's like everything, gas needs to be replenished. You know, you put it in your car, you fill it, and you have to refill it. But if it's not a matter of pumping gas into you, pumping energy into you, but you can do it with your own energy, and you learn the secrets and the tips and the tricks and the little things that you can do that allow... I don't want you to... You know, in other words, you don't have to jump up and down, you know, like a banshee kind of thing in order to be confident. You can do that, certainly, and that may be the way you start, but ideally you want to be able to be confident no matter what you do. I'll give you an example for the NLP practitioners to know what's going on. One of my most powerful anchors that I have is a little finger anchor that I have for myself, which means that I just touch my finger with my thumb, I think, in a particular way, and it takes me back to an experience that I've had before, which was walking out into the sunshine on a Chicago street from out under the canopy. And I was downtown Chicago, and I walked out of this canopy, and I went, wow, what a beautiful, wonderful day for a walk, and I anchored that. And that is one of the anchors I use most of the time. If I'm facing a stressful, fearful, terrifying kind of thing, I just hit that anchor and I think, wow, what a great day for a walk. Now, I don't necessarily think what a great day for a walk anymore because I'm not walking anywhere. I just have the feelings. I recall it. I can see the place. I go back to that. And that makes me stand confident. That makes me walk confident, talk confident, think confident, you know. And now, I mean, I don't even have to do it, frankly. You know, it's the thing that is becomes it's hardwired into my body so that if something becomes stressful, I've done it so many times, and then, I know how to do this. I know how to change it. But it all becomes, you know, the other thing you have to do is before you change anything is you have to take a deep breath, and we'll explain that in the workshop, because you got to have a gap space. You know, you need to be able to change what you're doing and move. And what happens in so many of these programs is they teach you how to be a bulldozer. But a bulldozer can't turn on a dime, and you got to be able to turn on a dime, and you got to be able to apply it to your everyday life in the context that you live in. So you can't come back to the workshop, you can't come back to the office place Monday going, wow, you know, and being this dynamo guy if you were the wallflower before, because pretty soon what will happen is you'll do it 4, 5, 6 days in a row, and people will not reward you for the behavior. They'll look at you like you're crazy, like you've gone to the moon and come back a lunatic. And pretty soon, social norms and conventions will wear you down, and you'll go back to being the wallflower. Because you have, instead of pacing their experience and joining their world, and coming in, you come in with religious zealots, you know, and it's, you know, which, well, we'll take that back, because some people, it'll make them try harder, you know, and other people, they will give up. So learning how to make your entry into the world and keep your skills and have your skills is an easy, easy, easy thing to do. It's a knack. And, you know, if you know what a knack is, it's just a little something you do that makes it easy. And that's what Jonathan and I present in programs. It's the knack of being in living successfully and being happier. You don't have to overhaul your entire life. I know you may think so, but you don't have to overhaul your entire life. You have to learn the knack of being better at things.